B-Pod Studios.
Fred, hello!
Hey, guys.
Hello!
Hey, I don't think you're supposed to be taking walks from the beach.
Ba-do-za, ba-do-za.
Opinions is a rectum.
Let's go, Red Sox!
Season four, your mom's a whore.
Pizza time.
Hit me like a bomb, bomb, bomb.
Wall dick, but yeah.
She made out with my dad.
I have four recliners. He has three.
Hello! Welcome to the show.
All right, good work, man. Good work. Good news is we can still play better. We can still play better. We had a better week of practice, played better situational football. All right, we got to keep grinding on that, keep building on it. All right, did a good job taking the ball away, did a good job protecting it, good job running hard, Damien.
Hell yeah.
Hey, bang him through the uprights. We got to get a head start on New Orleans. All right, this is a good football team and a good situational team. So enjoy this one. You deserved it. You earned it.
Yeah.
You outplayed them all the way through from start to finish.
Yeah.
All right. And we can work harder and play better. And that's what we're going to do. Play and coach better.
Good job
going on the road.
This process requires us to be in the now at all times. Whether it's on the practice field, in the weight room, in the meeting room, play by play, staying in the now.
But now we got some new members of the congregation.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
How do we feel about the first victory of the year?
Oh, yeah!
Woo! My allergies start acting up a little bit.
How do we feel?
Seasonal allergies there.
Running down the field five times a game.
Hey, you got to be in the now if you're on the Gunner. Good morning, everybody. Good morning. We are the Dutcher and Rich radio program, Town Fair Tire Studios. Call us at 617-779-0985. Watch us on Twitch at twitch.tv or get the Twitch app. You can follow us. So I have to say that today, I rarely say this and watch something terrible happen, but it might be a good day because the precedent was set on the way into work. Sitting at a red light, light turns green. Car in front of me pulls up, stops in the lane. So there's traffic going by me in the left. There's no getting around this car. Does not turn on its hazards. It's in front of a train station. And just sitting there, going on about 2 minutes. Then a woman casually gets out of the car and starts talking again. We're the only people on the planet. Mm-hmm. They don't care who that there's traffic behind them. She shuts the door. Car takes off. Her jacket is in the car door being dragged around the pavement as the car takes off. And she looks to the car helplessly saying, "Where'd my jacket?" And I thought, "Oh, sweet fate. You had to stop right there, didn't you? You couldn't have just gotten out of the red light. You couldn't have rushed. No, no, no. You took your time, and look, now you're short one jacket, and it's been dragging on the roads of Dorchester, which means that the debris on it's got to be really something to check out.
She could find a couple needles in her pocket.
Exactly. I mean, there's loose nails and everything else. I don't know what's going on, but I'll tell you. It was too early to honk. I don't want to get killed or nothing.
Sure.
So I
you can't tell what's going on in the car in front of you.
Yeah, I didn't want to honk. Yeah. I didn't know if there was someone was, their life was being threatened or something. So I didn't honk. But then I saw the woman get out, and then, they had a conversation with the door open, which is no internal clock, no saying wow, we're really inconveniencing people. And then the door shut, and therein lied the jacket. And then off went the car with the jacket. And the jacket was dragging across the Dorchester pavement. It was a delight.
Now, Dan just said something in my headphones, which I thought was an astute observation. Could this possibly have been a business transaction at that time of the morning?
Was she getting dropped?
Well, that's a very, very...
she working?
Very, very bold John in that case because, of course it could have been. I don't know.
What was the woman wearing?
Not a jacket.
Not a jacket. Yes, I understand that.
No, she wasn't dressed like, Jamie Lee Curtis and Trading Places or anything.
Because most prostitutes are.
Yes, exactly. I don't know. I'm not familiar with the streetwalkers,
okay,
to be honest with you. I don't.
Well, the route you take, I figured you might have seen a couple
of them.
Well,
no. When I took the heroin street over there, which I had to stop doing because I was going to hit someone because they just take kids' bikes and ride right in front of you in the street. I saw women that were coming back from something. Well, you know, when I worked in Detroit, it was the greatest because when I would go into the Fisher Building, the gentlemen would have their wigs off and would be holding their wigs in their hand and have their high heels in their other hand, and the dudes would be walking down the street like, I'm off the clock.
Yeah,
like, right,
sure.
Because I think I had to get in there at like 8:30, and like at 8:30 in the morning, they were off the clock.
Right, it's egg sandwich time.
Yeah, exactly.
That point.
it's
how to eat egg sandwich. Go to bed.
If it was a sexual transaction, I mean, that guy just stopped at the train thing. It was like, I mean, I'd want this all done while I was parked.
I wouldn't want to
be doing my business, you know, sitting there. Holding up traffic like that.
It's amazing how much of that you still see. Like, I mean, when I'm coming to work, I would say probably 2 out of the 5 days I'll see like blatant streetwalkers. And there's even times where I'm stuck at like a stoplight and you'll see them kind of looking into the car to see whether or not I'm an interested party. And it couldn't be more blatant. And I've always wondered, it's like, you know, at some point, wouldn't you think you would have to migrate to different blocks? Because it was just, you know, I think the police and everyone would be so aware that that's where you're working.
I wonder,
they're content with it being at one block so they can kind of control it.
I think that if I'm a cop, I'm not harassing. I don't think that I'm really interested in hookers. Unless something bad was to happen, and then you got to, like, you know, perk up your antennas. Have you ever been with someone trying to get a hooker?
No.
No.
Oh, yeah, I have.
Oh.
And then I've been out of town with a guy like years ago. He was trying to like get a hooker, and we were on our feet, but like he didn't go out of his way to get the hooker.
Can I ask what town it was?
It was in Cincinnati.
Oh, okay. Is that a place that's known for having easy to pick up hookers?
No, but it was. I don't think so.
I'm not trying to be funny. I really don't know if that's got a red light district type thing.
No, we were just wasted. He was like, I want a hooker.
Okay. It seems like a bold order. It's like it just seems like it would be tougher than you would think.
The way he, this is 20 years ago, but the way he rationalized it to me, it seemed like completely made sense. Like, he didn't want to have sex.
He did a good sales job.
I don't want to have sex with her. He's like, if we see a hooker, like, I want a hooker. And,
what?
Yeah.
Now, why bother?
What?
He said he
didn't want to have traditional biblical sex with her.
Yeah. Okay, okay.
He didn't want to do any work.
Right, right, right.
And so, and I was like, all right. And then he asked the doorman if there were any hookers, and the guy was like, no. But you know, he's like, a lot of people ask. I mean, you've been in the Four Seasons in Atlanta or the Ritz in Atlanta.
Those are like high it's dollar.
So high.
Yeah.
So what the doorman said to do was to go to Eros.com, and then my friend petered out. Before, like, he didn't want to deal with all the computer hooker stuff. And so, or maybe back then it was like a magazine. But I did have a friend who we were out of town, the same guy, and we were out of town, and these two chicks, like, came up to us and were like, started talking to us and stuff, and they came up to the room and, they came up to the room and they were smoking weed with them. I didn't smoke any weed. And, then they like said that they wanted money for sex. So I was like, nah, you wouldn't have done it either. Mm-hmm. And I was like, nah, you know, I don't want to do that. And the girl was real cool about it. And she was like, fine. So I went down to the lobby and then, my friend, I went up, like, I saw the girl, I heard her come down. She looked like the woman from the Jeffersons. And
Wheezy?
Yeah.
Okay.
From the Jeffersons.
All right.
A younger Wheezy. Maybe Wheezy like...
Well, at least she was a younger Wheezy.
Yeah, maybe like a late 20s Wheezy from the Jeffersons.
Okay.
All right. But my friend was like, eh, she was here.
Well, you know, it's kind of like not? Gene Simmons said one time, you know, sometimes you just need a... Everyone's looking for steak, but sometimes you just want a cheeseburger.
Yeah.
Well, I know that... I don't think that I've seen in Boston the high price hotel hooker scene... Like, at all. I don't think I've seen it, because I know that in Atlanta, there was a decent amount. Dallas, there was definitely a lot. Dallas was, like, insane that way. But I don't
think... I wonder if they run them out of the hotels here.
Maybe. Maybe that's the case.
Oh, no. I can't say, but there is a hotel that's not in the city that has a big issue with prostitution. And
really?
It's not in the city, and I know dudes that work there. I'm not friends with them, but I know dudes that work there, and even Stephanie knows about it. Like, and if you go and you eat there on, like, a weekend night, it's a whole situation, and they're hot.
All right, I'm trying to think. I won't say it out loud because I don't want to get, but I'm trying to think about what area that would be in.
It's in a nice area.
Huh.
And it's a nice hotel. I don't even know if it's still in existence.
Okay.
But it was...
this hotel right next to a major highway?
Well, I'm not going to
I have a guess as to what it might be.
I do too, yeah.
Especially now that you said you don't know if it's still around.
Okay.
But it's weird. I haven't seen any of that in Boston. But it used to be so blatant, Fred. You're exactly right. Like, you would go to a place like the Four Seasons or the Ritz, and you would... I mean, it's almost like a joke. It's like when you're in Vegas, where you immediately know who's sitting there and who is, you know, who's for sale.
Well, there'd be chicks that were just, like, gorgeous, with, like, cowboy hats on and stuff, and you'd be like...
Like, wildly overdressed, yeah. Too. Just, I mean, like, over the top. Like, dressed for, like, a ball, almost.
Yeah.
So, yeah, you saw that all over the place. I haven't
seen
it here.
And if you're a guy, you know, and you're stuck in Atlanta for a week, and, you know, you got nothing to do, and you've been drinking at a bar, and some, like, super hot chick starts hitting on you, I mean, you could see why someone would do that.
Well, robberies were a big deal, too, also, with that. Like, there would be, I mean, how many cases were there of women being brought up, you know, bringing a guy up to the room, and the next thing you know, either a guy would come in and rob them, or she would rob the guy when he was in the bathroom or something like that. I mean, that was a huge problem.
Well, now they got that Eros.com, because, you know, I know about that is because... A guy I knew in Atlanta said that he was dating J.R. Carrington. Do you remember J.R. Carrington? She's really, really hot, the porn star. And he had a bunch of pictures of her. And I'm like, how did you do that? And he goes, well, there's this site, Eros.com. And he's like, you can have sex with porn stars. And to me, it was like, wow, porn stars are prostitutes? And then I was like, wow, it never occurred to me that they would do that. And so, I mean, they're all verified.
I wonder if that business took a hit once things like Tinder came around. Because now it almost seems like if you want to hook up, you can do it, like, perfectly legally. It's just apps.
People that are at the Four Seasons and stuff, it's not a matter of really even, like, getting laid. It's them leaving. Like, it's a business transaction that has been, which is why it's weird that it's illegal. Because it's a business and transaction that you've both agreed upon, and then it's over. And then you've agreed that it's over.
Yeah.
So it seems even more on the level than really meeting someone where expectations might be different or something like that.
Although, from what I'm hearing, there's almost no expectations some nights when you're just, like, basically seeing who's in your area.
Yeah, but they still know who you are.
Yeah,
and they still know how to get in touch with
you. That's true.
And so what you're doing with a prostitute is you're paying them to leave.
Mm-hmm.
You're not, like...
And to be anonymous.
Yeah, well, right.
Yeah.
Like, you'll never talk to me again.
Yeah,
like you are gone.
Sure.
Like, hey, my name is Franklin, and I live on the moon, all right? So here we go. So I understand the appeal of it. I couldn't do it, but I understand the appeal of it. You know, if you're traveling like that, you're a lonely man. Mm-hmm. There's an attractive woman. Pay to spend a couple hours with them. They're generally, I would imagine, good conversationalists. They've made enough money to doll themselves up like that. They've met men from all over the world. I imagine sometimes men catch feelings for them and like travel, like fly them out to places and
sure,
stuff.
Sure, it's like Pretty Woman, you know?
Always. But she was just like a dirty streetwalker. Was she from a service or was she someone from the street?
Someone from the street. I remember the beginning of that movie. Richard Gere just pulls up to a street corner and she's standing there.
Okay. I don't remember much about that movie other than, of course, it's on, I think, Disney Plus, I think.
And Jason Alexander.
It's a Disney film.
Jason Alexander wants the prostitutes to have sex with him, and she does not want that.
No.
He's the bad guy.
Yes.
But, yeah, that's just like some streetwalker chick.
Yeah, that's all she is.
Mm-hmm. She's not one of these ones that, like, the governors get caught with. You know, she's not one of these ones that like the DAs get caught with that are like super good looking.
What Paul Newman movie is that?
Oh, Blaze.
Blaze, there you go.
Oh, Blaze. That's a true story.
Yeah.
It's a Lolita Davidovich, right?
Very good. Yeah. Nice pull.
That is a true story.
Yep.
But I mean, if you're a young woman and you get on one of those like services where it's like a tremendous amount of money for your time and you're dealing with these guys that have been vetted. And, like, they know who those guys are, and they're, like, super rich. And they, you know, you're going to the best hotels and eating at the best restaurants, and they're flying on private planes. I mean, there's worse things in the world. I'll tell you that. There's worse things in the world than doing that for a living, I would imagine. I mean, there's girls like Tiger Woods. Like, I mean, you end up with celebrities. You could end up with Scott Stapp from Creed. All right, Rich, well, there you go. That is the world of the prostitute for you at 6 in the morning. What is going on?
Well, apparently Aaron Rodgers decided to try once again. We will get into all of that last night, and I think we're all worse for it. I think we all wanted to see kind of the world go down in flames all around Aaron Rodgers.
We indeed did. All right, we'll be right back.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
What's up?
Recapping what you missed is Toucher and Rich.
What happened last night? 98.5, the Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. Rich, what's going on?
Well, apparently Aaron Rodgers decided to try once again.
Four-man rush. There's the snap. Here's Rodgers. Short pass caught by Jones. 10, far side. 5, angling to the pylon. He'll run in. Touchdown. Aaron Rodgers has just thrown his fourth touchdown pass tonight. Third to the running back, Aaron Jones. And the Packers have gone up by 10 with 7 seconds to play on a rainy night here in the third quarter.
Well, coming off one of the most embarrassing regular season losses of his career, Aaron Rodgers was ridiculously good. He completed 22
of 27. In the second half.
Well, I mean, yeah, but either way, 4 touchdowns, 255 yards, a near perfect passer rating of 145.6, John Wallach. I'd say that's pretty good. All right. And if you haven't heard already, if you haven't heard this yet, Fred and John, would you like to predict how Aaron Rodgers reacted to the media after the game?
I know what he said.
You do? Okay. John, would you like to predict?
He was a pompous ass after the game, I would
imagine. I just think people like to say a lot of and it's nice to come back in here after a game like that and get the trolls off our back for at least a week.
Oh, yeah.
He just talks like an a-hole. I told you. What a jackass. Like,
he's got a punchable voice.
That sound of his voice. I hope they lose every game. I really hate the Packers, which is a shame because you would normally like the Packers because what else does that town got going for them?
It's true.
You know, they get these 17 weeks a year.
Yep.
So I would always, because listen, the Lions are forever going to suck. I mean, their defense is a mess. They're just never ever gonna clear that hurdle.
I see Dan Campbell, and I was watching in the first half, and Campbell couldn't high five enough people or shake enough hands.
Started off great.
Yeah, no, the Lions were up at halftime. They played really well. They moved the ball right down the field. Jared Goff looked decent.
Goff's not a bad quarterback, and he has no one to throw to. And I know you liked some of the receivers, but, I mean, except for their tight end, they don't have anyone. He doesn't have anyone to throw
There's
to.
There's one guy who had a really good half, Quentin Cephas, who I'd never heard of before.
Well, no, because no one has, because one guy returned to the team, one receiver.
Right.
They let Galladay go, which was a real shame, considering he's already screaming and yelling like a maniac on the Giants' sidelines. But so for Green Bay, it was never a matter of like winning the division because the Lions just aren't ever going to do it. So you were just like, yeah, Green Bay. But now Aaron Rodgers is just the worst.
Oh, man. And the thing is, talking about the trolls, dude, you invited that on yourself from the whole way that you acted in the offseason with the jackassery going back to the team and then the way you played in week one. What did you expect people were going to say? Of course, they were going to immediately assume that you had checked out. I mean, how else do you explain week one? You sucked. You were awful. You looked uninvested. And afterwards, you looked like a villain from an 80s movie. And you didn't even give a rat's ass about what the outcome of the game was. And now I called it. This is another dumb thing that I called, is that it was finally going to get to him. And he was going to light it up in week two. And he did it. And it sucks. I kind of wish he was, you know, all hell-bent for destruction, because that was my favorite theory.
Well, is that
he wanted everyone fired around him, and he was going to suck, but...
Well, play the lottery, Rich, because that prediction that Aaron Rodgers was going to return after a bad game, I mean, you got to start playing the numbers.
Well, I mean, once again, I said he was going to absolutely light it up after being crappy, and that was because I don't think that he can take
against
people
thinking
he sucks.
At home? Wow, that's quite a prediction.
Well, there's a lot of people saying he was going to watch it all go down and burn. And
that's right. He's going to all of a sudden be horrible.
There's a lot of people said keep an eye on it. I don't think a lot of – I mean, they were 8.5-point favorites.
It would have been nice if the Lions had won last night.
It would have been very nice if the Lions played. It would have been a great story.
But they are the Lions, and they are on the road, and they never win.
You're not going to go into Green Bay on Monday night and win that game.
At halftime, I was optimistic. I was. They look really, really good.
Here's the
secret. Moving the ball up and down
the
field.
The secret to watching the Lions and the Jets is just it's going to be hope they keep it close till the end.
Okay.
That's the secret.
All right.
I mean, they weren't going to win that game.
Lions are going to win more games than the Jets.
I don't know about that.
They're a better team.
Yeah, but you don't know how the Jets will develop. And I don't know if they're a better team.
They got a better quarterback.
Right now they do.
Right now.
Would you say that the Lions play in an easier division than the Jets?
Yes.
Okay.
We'll see about Miami, but yeah.
In theory, just looking at it right now, Lions should gather more wins in their division.
Listen, it's like a race to four.
True.
Four or five because there's 17 games, but I don't know. I don't think the Lions are necessarily a better team than the Jets now.
Well, here's Dan Campbell afterwards.
I just told them I don't want to see that. So they come in. I'm not that type of person. I'm not a negative person. I'm all about going to work. I want guys that are resilient, that are willing to go back to work. They love ball. They're going to clean up their mistakes. And those are the guys I'm looking for, man.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, man. Of course.
Yeah, it's the guys you're looking for. Guys that can make up for your coaching problem.
Well, there was one weird moment after Aaron Jones did this. A little bit of chaos started.
The shotgun snap. Hands off to Jones. Digs through the rain and the slick grass. And dives for a touchdown over the left guard. And the Packers have scored again. His fourth touchdown tonight.
Okay, so apparently during that play, Adams lost his chain. But according to Adams, this was no ordinary chain. He was asked about it afterwards.
Aaron, I know that this is your first game here at Lambeau without your dad. Just how much was he on your heart tonight?
He was really on my heart. I actually have a chain with a football, and his ashes are in it. I scored, and it fell off in the end zone, so I'll go look for it, but I know he's happy. He'd be happy. He was like, if you lose it anywhere, lose it in the end zone. So.
You haven't found it?
I haven't. The grounds crew was looking for it, though. So.
Oh, we got to go get
that. We'll find it. We'll find it.
Just when did you know it was going to be your night?
I saw the other uniform.
a chain with his father's ashes in it.
Yeah,
it's lost.
So now ESPN has found all this footage of him before the game, like showing the chain and like doing all this stuff with the chain. And imagine that thing falling off during a professional football game. It's almost impossible to believe. And I wonder if one of the Lions or even one of the Packers players, someone picked it up. Oh, okay.
Well, walking around with part of his dead father, unfortunately. Yeah,
you can melt that thing down and still get the money.
Yeah, there you go. All right, so when we get back, We can talk a little bit about the Manning cast, if you would like, and everything that happened during that yesterday.
It was the first time I had watched the Manning cast, and I enjoyed it until they had a certain guest on. And then I did not enjoy
it. Oh, no, I enjoyed it. It was pretty funny.
Yeah. I was kind of pulling for the Lions a little bit, and I like how they were talking. I mean, the Mannings know so much about football, and you like learn. I mean, there was learning stuff. They find stuff. I don't know what the hell's going on. And then Gumpy Von Stupidenstein came in and started mucking up everything.
Is that his new nickname? It's kind of like Dragon McAcopolis. That's what we're going to call him.
Now, there was a lot of Gumpy Von Stupid. So are you talking about Brett Favre yesterday?
No, I know who he's talking about.
I didn't see the second half. Okay. I only saw the first half.
I have to admit, when Favre came on, I just kind of stopped paying attention after the first like 2 minutes of what he said. Like, Favre sucks now. Yeah. I mean, he's got nothing to say. But yeah, let's talk when we get back a little bit about Rob Gronkowski's appearance on the old the Manning cast.
It's funny. John came in. He goes, like, I heard Rob Gronkowski was really good. And I'm like, whoa, really?
I only heard bits and pieces. I didn't hear the whole thing. He saw the whole thing, and apparently it was misrepresented to me.
No. As far as entertaining, it was great. Now, he did have like one or two funny things that he said, but I think the overall appearance.
He was on for a real long time just to say one or two funny things. And then they had McAfee on, so I'm sure he was standing up and yelling. Mm-hmm. Not doing your father's broadcast.
No.
All right. Yeah. We'll be back. I don't know why. He stands up during his broadcast. It just drives me insane. All right. We'll be right back.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Sports Hub. Toucher and Rich.
That's got to be a soul-killing exercise.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Ooh, yeah. By the way, doing this show kind of feels meaningless because it's just a matter of days before the Triumph documentary comes out.
I couldn't name one Triumph song.
Nor could I. But Sebastian Bach, I follow him on Twitter, and he's in the Triumph documentary.
Don't you fight the good fight and remember?
I don't know any Triumph songs.
Is that not the definition of Hesher rock?
Like Canadian Hesher rock.
Yeah, Canadian Hesher rock, Triumph.
Yeah, for sure. But you got to follow Sebastian Bach on Twitter because he does things like, he gets so excited, and he's always, like, drunk on wine.
Yeah.
And they give him this box, this special box set of Triumph, whatever Triumph album it is. He's like, oh, my God, there's so much in here. And, oh, the drummer. Sebastian, thanks for the support. Wow. Just look at Triumph.
Who cares about Triumph?
No, well, Sebastian Bach.
I remember when I was a kid and I bought the Triumph album.
Okay.
Was Triumph that band that we had a prisoner call in one time and he wanted to request that we played some Triumph? And we're like, yo, you know, we don't really play music, but sure, we'll play a little something. What are you in there for? Well, I stabbed a guy in the throat. We're like, eh, maybe we're not going to play that song.
Sounds about right.
It's like, say, he was able to make a phone call and he called us and... Yep.
Yeah, we used to do a lot of stuff with the prisoners.
Well, Prison Letter Friday, like we would. Is this Triumph? Is this their biggest hit?
No Rush influence.
They've been listening to Rush.
Yeah, no Rush influence at all.
It's like Rush without any talent or hooks.
That's Bad Company, isn't it?
This is garbage.
This is awful.
Is that a flute? All right. This is their biggest.
Is this the hook? Are you ready?
Oh, get ready.
Fight the good fight, everybody. Everybody.
It's not even bad. It's just like music. It's like docking. It's
sticks.
Like, it's like, yeah, it's like music that existed back then.
Right, you're right. It's like there, but how could anyone possibly be passionate about that?
Right, exactly. Like, it's not like they sound like a band. It's not that, you know, Applebee's song or anything.
By the way, I got screwed by the lack of embracing of metal in Boston again. Ghost, that band I really like.
Yeah, yeah.
They just announced they're going on tour in the United States. And, of course, DCU Center. They're playing in Worcester. Every good metal band plays in Worcester.
I thought they played like football stadiums.
So they play, well, DCU Center's pretty big. Like, that's big as hell.
So that's like the Garden?
Yeah. So they play places that are huge overseas and really big here. But it's, I mean, overseas, it's, they play, you know, big, like really big spots.
Yeah. Because every time I see them, they're, you know, it's some like ridiculous size stage.
Oh, their show's insane. Yeah. The DCU Center is, I remember the first choice of the DCU Center was the Guns N' Roses Chinese Democracy Tour. Where the opening band got off stage at like 8:45 and Axl didn't show up till like 12:15. I've been to a million concerts. That right there had to probably be the grossest collection of human beings I've ever seen all collected in one place. Like, I mean, like, it was a dare to find someone who was over a 4 on the scale of hotness. Mm-hmm. And I'm hovering there with them, so I wasn't much to talk. So, damn it. I got to get my fix of metal, unfortunately, out in Worcester. They have got a chokehold on all things thrash and metal. All right. So, let's get to the Manning cast from last night, which, Fred, you did not watch week one.
No.
You got to see it in week two.
Yeah.
And as I said, surprisingly entertaining.
Yeah.
Peyton Manning and his brother are pretty good. And let's get to some of the stuff that happened there. It's getting more obvious, though, Fred, that Peyton on this Manning cast, he's all in. And Eli just forgets that he's on planet Earth for minutes at a time. He just
I'd say that's normal.
He blank stares into the void, mouth agape.
You can tell.
That's Eli's entire career.
You can tell why one was more successful than the other. Like, it does seem that paid. I mean, I wonder if Eli's like a much better athlete or something. I don't really know. And that Peyton is just so much more engaged intelligent.
It's
like that was the difference between the two of them.
Fred, it's like with Eli, someone forgot to pay the energy bill in his brain. It's just, he'll just be talking and then all of a sudden, and you'll see it. Visually, he'll just stare into nothingness.
Yeah, I know. And he's just like such a nice guy. Like, you know, he's just like, hey, Peyton. Why you ice the kicker after they kick the ball? You should ask him before. Don't let him kick it. Hey, and then Peyton wasn't paying attention. Peyton, listen. But I enjoyed it. I mean, they know a lot about what's going on, far more than I do.
Mm-hmm.
They're much more sophisticated. But then, Rich, they brought on a guest who's not.
They brought on Rob Gronkowski, who once again had a connection from a computer from maybe the early 2000s.
Yeah.
I don't know how this day and age, especially when you're a millionaire like him, you can't get some sort of decent connection, like Wi-Fi signal. But here he was sitting on his couch talking to the Manning brothers, and he had this to say.
Hey, Gronk, when you're watching film and game plan and prepping, are you watching more scheme? Are you watching kind of safeties or linebackers? And who do you think will be guarding you? What are you looking at?
Well, first off, my teammate Cam Bray just asked me the other day. He goes, Rob, I have a serious question. He goes, do you ever watch film? And I said, no, I don't. I just run by guys. If I'm feeling good, I'm feeling good. So I don't know how to answer that. I don't watch film, but I do watch
keep
film
it simple.
When the team is showing it. And I actually do go up to Tom, because I know Tom watches like, I don't know, 40 hours of film a week. I go, Tom, who's covering me this week? What type of coverages are they doing? I go, that's why I love playing with you guys. We just know everything. Hey, hold on. My dog's barking. Look here. Let me meet my dog.
Who we got? Let's see the dog. Who we got
this
here?
This is Ralphie.
Who is this?
He would. Yeah, this is Ralphie. He would be a fullback, but this is a fullback, Peyton. All right.
All right, Ralphie. Nice to meet you, pal.
Yeah, get off the TV.
Jesus.
I mean, there is a game going on.
That's why editing was so important, the clips that I heard.
But then,
you really do have to hear it in real time.
But then he was like, they asked him a question, and he I don't know if you have it.
He's digging it up.
They asked him a question, and he like just went, huh. And then they were like, okay, and then, you know, trying to move things along. And then Rob started to explain how he's not an analyst. He is an improviser.
Basically ripping on him for giving a non-answer.
Yeah, but then Rob started saying how he was an improviser and how, you know, he, when he was on Fox, he was a big-time improviser. He's with Groundlings right now.
This guy wanted to be an actor. Remember yeah. that?
Well, he's in Second
he
City.
He wanted to be a WWE superstar, this guy. I remember this now.
Yeah, he's Michael Scott at the improv group.
One thing I did think was kind of funny about, you know, him saying that he doesn't watch film. Obviously, you know, if you've played with Tom Brady your entire life, yeah, you don't have to watch film. Brady just puts you in the right place, and you talk to him, and you're set. I was thinking about that this game coming up, and I said that I know that Gronk's going to have at least two touchdowns because Brady's obviously going to make this whole thing personal when he comes back here, and I think he wants to involve Gronk too, so it's a double nut punch. But I didn't even remember or think about Antonio Brown's involvement. Do you think that he feeds Antonio Brown that game as well?
Sure he does.
As a triple punch to the balls?
Well, there is the off chance that Belichick could go, like he did with Corey Davis, that he could go, we're taking away Gronkowski.
No, he
try.
I'm just saying that there is the off chance. Well, I mean, if they key on Gronkowski, they can take him away now at the expense of everything else.
That's the thing. Evans and Godwin are your two best receivers.
No, he's got a tremendous amount of weapons, but I'm just saying if it comes down to it, you know, and Belichick wanted to be a prick, I mean, could, you know, focus on Gronkowski. A little bit more difficult to focus on Antonio Brown, I guess, because he would then leave everyone else, the two superior receivers, open.
Maybe that's the plan, Fred. If Brady sees that one of those two guys is trying to get taken out of the game, you just concentrate on the other one. And either way, it's embarrassing to the Patriots.
Yeah, that's the rub, is that he's got two guys that you could embarrass with. Because you can take one guy away. You can't. It's a lot harder to take two guys away.
Antonio Brown might not be able to help himself after he scores. Like,
he might go to jail.
Yeah, he might whip it out or something like that. I mean, I honestly think he's just going to be out of control.
He might not make the plane back to Tampa Bay, you're saying?
Sure. If you thought Randy Moss fake mooning was bad, who knows what you're gonna get from that?
Who didn't?
Disgusted. Even Joe Buck says now that he went way over the top on that. He's kind of come around on that call, which obviously was a bad call. And I like Joe Buck now, but that was ridiculous. Oh, how dare he!
I think Joe Buck is most comfortable being a talk show host when he has comedians on. You guys remember the Artie Lang appearance?
I saw that show. Yep.
Yeah.
I mean, that was just a guy having no idea what he was doing.
Yep.
Yeah, Jason Sudeikis on, who's going to give you nothing, and then Paul Rudd, who's like his friend from growing up, and all he had for Paul Rudd was like, hey, here's a picture of us in high school. And then Paul Rudd's like, yeah, there's us. And then everybody's like, all right, I'm going to start just going crazy on the show. And there was nothing poor Joe Buck could do about it.
Well, there was also a moment with your guy Pat McAfee where Peyton Manning seemed to get a little bit relaxed. And maybe he had no idea that he was actually still on television at this point.
Midway through the season, get that pass rush going. They can be better on defense.
Eli, that long-winded answer kept us from getting another play-by-play of a punt. I mean, we could have gotten two. Pat, I'm sorry.
All I want to hear you
say. It's your fault for asking Eli a question that he gave a four-minute answer to.
Great answer. It was an incredible answer. I'll use that on my show. I'll act like it's my own. But all we need is one out of you, Peyton. Just good punt. You know, me and Leckler were texting during a commercial break. The GOAT, Shane Leckler. What is your deal? Just one good punt out of that mouth would do a lot for the brand of kickers and punters out here. You know what I mean?
Good punt. Great punt. Great punt. How about that?
Yes.
Is that it?
Yes. Oh, that was great. This has been fun.
Peyton Manning just dropping an F-bomb on television last night.
Yeah, what does he care?
Oh, I tell you, this Manning cast is being sold well. This is good. I got to tune in next week.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Because McAfee played with Manning, right?
Yes, he was. Yeah. He was the punter. And then didn't McAfee wind up in a canal drunk at some point?
McAfee?
Yes. I want to think McAfee.
Yeah, Mike's saying yes.
Mike McAfee wound up drunk. He ran off the road and wound up like asleep. Oh, and
yeah, he's got a story about meeting with Ursay after that. Yeah.
And I think that was the beginning of the end of his tenure with the Colts. And they got rid of him after that.
He's in tremendous shape.
Well, he's got that great story about taking a selfie in the equipment room and Gregson at the time. Remember, everybody hated Gregson when he was there?
Yes.
like pulled Pat McAfee into his office and essentially threatened to cut him from the team because he had taken a selfie.
I remember that story.
Inside the equipment room. Yeah. And Pat McAfee's like, what are you talking about? And what, like, are you kidding me at this point? And he said that everybody hated Gregson. And I guess that wasn't the only thing that he wasn't the only guy who did that with. Gregson would do that randomly, just pull different players in there and try to threaten them with getting cut for doing dumb crap like that. I don't even know what the problem would be. I guess it was like you're giving away the state secrets by being in the equipment room.
Well, the secret is to do your broadcast standing up.
Mm-hmm.
That is the secret. And to be very emotional during it. But that's what you get on Mad Dog.
That's the energy.
That's the energy that exists on the Mad Dog station.
Mm-hmm.
Mad Dog's had it. He's pissed as hell. He ain't going to take it no more.
There's no sitting down.
No.
No sitting down.
Yeah. Man Cow as well. He was a stand-up guy. He would always stand up with his microphone.
Man Cow.
Remember Man Cow?
Remember Man Cow desperately trying to roll with the times and become a conservative commentator?
Oh, yeah.
How'd that work out for Man Cow?
I don't think too well.
No. Man Cow. Man Cow was a big star for like a couple years.
He was?
And then he lost it.
He's big in Chicago, right?
He was in Chicago. He was syndicated a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
He used to get into it with Stern. And it was Man Cow and Bubba the Love Sponge. It was a glorious time. It was a glorious time in radio. Read an article about Bubba the Love Sponge now. Feel kind of bad for the guy at this point.
Where is he?
He is in Tampa, but I don't think he's heard in Tampa. I think his show broadcasts out of Tampa. He's a big Twitch guy.
Okay.
I think he does much better on Twitch than we do.
He has over 500 watching him?
Well, 500 would be a big day. If we get a girl in here, then it gets up to 1,000.
Yeah, I've seen that.
Generally, I think we're hovering around 200.
That's right. I remember we had Nora in here, and there were like 1,500 people watching. Like, wow!
Like Nick Cayley, he's like, 2,500 people are on Twitch.
Oh, my God.
We've broken Twitch. Something's going on with Twitch.
We've overloaded the system with 2,500 viewers. Yeah,
exactly.
That's right.
We should just have someone sitting in the corner, like every show. Just like, here we go. Or just to take a feed from somewhere else and just put it in the corner of our screen.
Yeah.
We should do like old school radio and just have like Hot Chick Friday and just have them sit in here. They don't even have to say nothing.
Someone saying Ordway always stood during his show, Wallach? Is that right?
Who could tell? Very short man. Oh, I don't know. I don't think that's true.
That's a commitment to stand up.
I don't know.
Adam 12 stands up.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, he's a big stand-up guy.
No, Ordway, I believe, sat the entire time.
Yeah, Adam 12 stands up. He can't sit down. He's got too much energy. Too much energy for the audience. All right, we'll be right back.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.